solidarity campaign that's building around the Portland Public School teachers currently in mediation with the school district. As tonight's program is aired, Portland students, parents, and community members are rallying outside the school board to support teachers in their ongoing contract negotiations. We will hear a report from Friday's student walkout at Jefferson High School by Jamie Partridge, as well as interview a student organizer.
All websites and event information will be posted on our Labor Radio page, along with this episode, at kboo.fm. Coming up this week, there are three education-related events.
On Tuesday, January 14th, the Portland Parent Union and the Dignity in Schools campaign is presenting for race talks at the Kennedy School starting at 7 p.m. The topic is No More Pushouts and how to challenge the systemic problem of pushout in our nation's schools and advocate for the human right of every child to a quality education and to be treated with dignity.
You see, it's more than just solidarity. Because, you see, I am you. And you are me, that we are going through this attack together. Now, in the city, I've heard that DCTU had worked with Yvonne Deckard. Yvonne Deckard? I know. And believe it or not, in Portland, in our school district, they just hired her consulting for $360,000. I am you, and you are me. And I represent nearly 4,000 teachers. When we're looking at the attacks are the same. It is about our working conditions. It is about our job security. It is about seniority. These things are the same. In fact, they are way too familiar. The undermining of public sector unions and workers undermines the services that we provide. See, as teachers, our working conditions are students' learning conditions. And as public sector workers, our working conditions are the city's living conditions. And so I am proud of the work that we do for this city. And I am proud to stand up here in solidarity with DCTU. I think that we need to draw a line in the sand. We need to draw a line in the sand that we are proud of the services that we provide together. We make this city work. Thank you.
That was Gwen Sullivan, president of the local Portland Association of Teachers, speaking to city workers and the District Council of Trade Unions, the DCTU, during a rally in November, connecting the struggle of public sector workers. The city of Portland declared impasse in negotiations 1 week ago on January 6th. This week on Thursday, January 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Portland State University, Portland Rising, along with local labor activists and rank-and-file workers, are presenting a panel and workshop called Strikes on the Horizon, which includes speakers from several unions and student groups, linking together the struggles around workers' rights and public services in Portland. In addition to students and teachers, parents and community members have stepped up to support Portland Public School educators. We spoke with Betsy Salter about how she got involved supporting her local teachers.
My name is Betsy Salter, and I'm the parent of an eighth grader in Portland Public Schools.
And you've been working for some time now helping the teachers organize. Can you kind of describe what you've been doing?
I've kind of been concerned about the teacher contract negotiations when the school board first criticized our teachers for not wanting to sign on to a Race to the Top grant back in November 2012. So as soon as the teachers started organizing and preparing for, folks know that the district was really pushing them hard to meet, you know, more frequently than they could during the summertime. They have training and other jobs that they do to make ends meet, and so they were letting folks know that the district was being unreasonable in terms of pushing for frequent meetings. So I just attended meetings that had been called in the summertime for folks who support teachers to learn more about the bargaining process and what might need to happen if the district really keeps pushing and not really bargaining in good faith. What we're just trying to do is, because the district is able to send out emails to all the parents in their email list, and then they get their letters published in the Oregonian, most folks aren't able to hear the teacher's side of things, and so they're getting a very slanted view. And so as a community organizer, I'm trying to get more people to learn, you know, it's going to take time and effort on their part to learn about what's really going on from the teacher's perspective. And hopefully if the district does push our teachers to go to strike because they won't negotiate a fair contract, that we'll have wide and strong community support to support our teachers if they have to go on strike.
That was Betsy, a local Franklin area parent, relating to the contentious talks between teachers and the school district. On Sunday, January 19th at 1 p.m. at 1500 Plaza Building on 1500 Northeast Irving, and also on Thursday, January 23rd at 5:30 p.m. at the SEIU 503 Hall, the Portland Teacher Solidarity Campaign will be meeting to talk about updates in the bargaining process and to organize more ways to support teachers, students, and parents who are fighting for justice and equality in education.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. This is Labor Radio.
Jamie Partridge reported for KBOO News during the Jefferson Student Union walkout on Friday, January 10th.
I'm at Jefferson High School. We're at the front door where there is a large group of students gathering. Just walked inside the school. There's about 50 students gathered with signs that say, "Fighting for the schools we deserve," "Black student power," "Portland Student Union." "When Portland Public Schools is completely whack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back." "More art, less Oaks." Oaks is the standardized test. "Fighting for the schools Portland students deserve." The Jefferson Student Union is planning a walkout today. They're expected to head out to Killingsworth to support their teachers who are in a bitter contract struggle with the Portland Public Schools. One of a series of student walkouts that have occurred in Portland Public Schools. First, the Cleveland students walked out, then the Roosevelt students walked out, then the Wilson High School students walked out. And today, the Jefferson High School students are walking out. They have a particular Jefferson-focused grievance today. They are focusing on respect for their school. Jefferson High School is the only majority-minority high school in the state of Oregon. They are predominantly African-American, and they say they don't get respect. They're being labeled as a failing school. They are labeled by the media as a gangster school. Their football games are overrun with security with Portland police, and they're tired of it. They are carrying signs that say, "We are angry. We love our teachers. Walk out for justice." I was just kicked out of the building. I'm out here watching a group of about 10 high school students from Cleveland High School coming up to the front door to join their compatriots from Jefferson. As I said, Cleveland had walked out earlier in support of their teachers. The teachers are in struggle for smaller class sizes, lower workload. In particular, workload at high schools is 180 students, which the students say is too much. They don't have an opportunity to get individual attention from their teachers, and the teachers do not have time to grade papers, let alone prepare lessons for 180 students. And the school district is attempting to lift that cap, which is now in place. And here the students are coming out the front door.
Walk out! Jefferson High School students, walk out in support of your teachers!
Support our teachers!
Carrying a big banner that says, "Portland Student Union. Solidarity forever." "We're the future of this nation. We deserve an education." A predominantly black student group here. The leader, Sakai Edwards. An honor student. The crowd has grown to about 100. Jefferson, 60% black, 16% white. 76% free and reduced lunch. The students have taken over Killingsworth Street and are marching down Killingsworth Street, a major thoroughfare here in North Portland, a two-lane boulevard. About 100 students marching down Killingsworth, stopping traffic. The crowd has grown to about 200 students with signs carrying saying, "Shame on PPS, Portland Public Schools. We are angry. Students and workers, worker teachers, unite and win." After marching about two blocks, they've blocked Killingsworth. They're stopping in the middle of Killingsworth. Signs saying no more racist school closures. That's in reference to all the schools that have been closed in this neighborhood. Carol Smith, "Rich and Rude, We Don't Like Your Attitude." That's in reference to Carol Smith, the superintendent. So they've decided to keep walking down Killingsworth Avenue, taking over one lane. A lot of support. A lot of people along the sidelines cheering. We're going across in front of the Center for Cultural Organizing, Intercultural Organizing, excuse me. A lot of support. Marching in front of Portland Community College, Cascade Campus. Students are under attack. What do we do? Stand up, fight back. Back overtaking two lanes of traffic here on North Killingsworth. Passing North Albina Avenue, which has been considered a hot spot by the Portland police. Again, many young African Americans, victims of racial profiling and police abuse here at North Albina and Killingsworth. So who am I talking to here? Carter Howard.
Yeah.
So why are you out here today, Olivia?
Because they're trying to put more people in the classes, so it's going to be harder for us to learn, and they're trying to cut down our teachers' checks so more. So they're trying to pay the teachers less for more kids. So we're walking out and fighting, and the district doesn't really care, and they're trying to abuse the teachers, but we're not going to let that happen.
You're out here fighting for the teachers, and you're also fighting for yourself?
Yes, we are. We're fighting for our education.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you.
We deserve better than this because we're the future. I mean, we're the future of the nation. That's what it really is. As Sekai said, we're the future of the nation, and if you're not feeding us what we need, how are we supposed to give you what y'all need?
What's your name?
Adonis.
Talking to Adonis. Thank you. This is Mikey Garcia, a white student, one of the few here, and a member of the Jefferson Dancers.
I love my teachers, but you know what's not fair? It's not fair that there's 43 kids in my anatomy class.
Yeah!
It's not fair that my teachers don't have prep time to plan lessons for me.
Yeah!
It's not fair that the district is trying to take these things away, not give them more.
Yeah!
And that's not fair.
Mikey Garcia. Starting to rain.
We're going to do a mic check.
Mic check.
On Monday.
On Monday.
January 13th.
January 13th.
At the school board.
At the school board.
We are going to rally.
We are going to rally.
At 5:30.
At 5:30.
To tell the school board.
To tell the school board.
That they cannot treat our teachers this way.
That they cannot treat our teachers this way.
In show of support to our teachers.
In show of support to our teachers.
We are going to turn around.
We are going to turn around.
And walk back into their class.
And walk back into their class.
And be the best students we can be.
And be the best students we can be.
And get the best education we can.
And get the best education we can.
Woo! We're the future of the state.
Turning around, heading back. Into Jefferson High School, Jamie Partridge, KBOO News.
Megan interviewed high school student union organizer Sekai Edwards about the walkout and the aspirations of the Jefferson Student Union.
We are talking to Sekai Edwards, who is a student organizer at Jefferson High School and led the student walkout in solidarity with the Portland teachers last Friday. Sekai, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So can you help us paint a little picture of what happened last Friday?
Yeah, so at 12:15, Jefferson High School students walked out of their classrooms and took to the streets, Killingsworth Street, to walk down and protest the district in the negotiation of contracts with the teachers.
And what motivated you and your fellow classmates to take that kind of action?
During winter break, all the Portland student unions had a meeting. And when we were sitting in that meeting, we were all talking about different actions the schools could do. And Jefferson said, we would like to do a walkout. And so that's how the first idea of it came up.
And why are students organizing in solidarity with the teachers? What's your understanding of what's happening in negotiations?
So, as the contracts are being negotiated, the district is taking things like class size caps, so more and more students can be added to classrooms. They're trying to make it that a teacher can be evaluated on standardized test scores, that their students receive. And so these things affect students by what's going to happen in my classroom and how my education is going to go, and I think that's one of the reasons that we wanted to stand up and say this isn't fair, because this is affecting me just as much as it's affecting my teacher.
And how does this relate to so much of the organizing to save the Jefferson school cluster? Because haven't we seen the district really focus so many school closures on that area?
Yes, that was definitely one of the reasons Jefferson wanted to make a big action, because when they were closing down so many schools, the teachers union came out in a lot of support for the schools. Teachers that didn't even work in the clusters were coming out for support of our schools. So that was one reason that we definitely wanted to make sure we were fighting for them. But also because making class sizes bigger, that's just being able to push more students into classrooms and get rid of teachers. All these things are affecting Jefferson High School, especially because we do see so many closures in our area. And at a certain point, Jefferson won't be able to succeed if the education you're getting before you get into Jefferson is so bad that by the time you're at Jefferson, there's no way that, you know, you're passing these standard tests. You know, when you're looking at them, my ninth grade math teacher might look like a bad teacher because I can't pass this standardized testing, and then you're going to say Jefferson's failing me, but really you failed me because you closed down my elementary school, put me in a classroom with 40 other kids and one teacher, and there's no way I'm going to be able to learn. So I think that's one thing that really connects those two.
So what was it like on Friday? How many students walked out and, you know, what kind of response did you get?
Well, it was such a rush on Friday when the build-up to it was so crazy. We were trying to get everything together and make sure that it went off smoothly. We got about a little under 200 kids walked out of their classes, so it was crazy the amount of support. We were expecting a big turnout, but we never expected that many kids and that many kids to be so well educated on what the problem was. So that was an amazing feeling. And I mean, I think we just, it was so powerful. Students were coming up to me saying that they felt closer to their students. They felt like they wanted to keep fighting for their teachers. They wanted to keep fighting for Jefferson. And it was just this amazing feeling of empowerment that I felt we all were feeling together. And that was so powerful.
So what's next for you guys?
Well, next we're going to be moving forward on just keeping the fight for our teachers going. But even more importantly, I think we're going to really be fighting for Jefferson High School. We're trying to take our name back in the community, in the media, in the Portland area, and really just put Jefferson back on the map. We're trying to make sure we get our programs back, we get our cluster schools opened again, we get more teachers and more programs that the other schools are afforded and Jefferson High School constantly sees taken away. So I think now that people realize, like, there is a group of students who are fighting at Jefferson, we're going to get so many community outreach and so many organizers and people from the community and the Jefferson area that are going to want to help us, that by the time I hope I graduate, Jefferson won't even be recognizable because it will be just this amazing establishment that everybody wants to go to.
Is there a way that folks who are listening can support you guys?
Definitely. I think we're going to start holding meetings and really get organized so we know exactly what we need. But anybody who contacts either, I think, myself or Mikey, who's my partner in all of the organizing, we definitely like to hear what people can help us with. And we know that there's no way we are going to be able to succeed without the community being there and backing us. And I think that is what Jefferson lost, and that is why it started to fail. And so anything that they can do, any ideas, anything, we would love to hear, and we would love to have them be a part of Jefferson again.
Thanks for tuning in to Labor Radio, bringing you the news and views of, by, and for working people every Monday night at 6. I'm Megan. My co-host was Mayor.
To play us out, David Rovick's We Are Everywhere.
I say the hungry should have food. I speak for many when I say no one should have 7 homes. While some don't have any, though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere. And I say the time for the rich, it will come. Let me count the ways, victories or hints of the future. Havana, Caracas, Chiapas, Buenos Aires. How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share? They hide in their ivory towers, but we are everywhere. Religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen and corporate radio stations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority, and we are everywhere. With every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, invade. Comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear, comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere.
KBOO Community Radio and the North Portland Neighborhood Library is proud to sponsor the Jefferson High School 13th Annual Multicultural Film Festival. On January 14th, the documentary The House I Live In explores the risks that prohibition poses to freedom and the tragedy of addicts being treated as criminals. Meanwhile, the prisons of America are growing overcrowded with nonviolent criminals and illegal drugs are still being sold in schoolyards. This film is being shown on January 14th at the North Portland Neighborhood Library off of Killingsworth Street at 6 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to see you turning out in such large numbers.
KBOO Radio is proud to sponsor Keep Alive the Dream 2014, the 29th annual tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This annual event, a production of World Arts Foundation Incorporated, will be broadcast live from the Anthem Convention Center at 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in its entirety on KBOO on Monday, January 20th, from 11 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side under Community Events.
It's hard to think this great man is dead.
And this has been Labor Radio here on KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it is Prison Pipeline, followed by Hard Knock Radio. So stay tuned.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight, we're here with Mr. Jihad Abdul-Mumit, who is co-chair with the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoner Amnesty and also former political prisoner himself. Good evening, Jihad.
Good evening, everybody. Peace.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, brother.
So there was a Democracy Now! Program several weeks ago that addressed the issue of aging political prisoners. And we wanted to further that discussion tonight. And starting off, could you give some kind of description of who you and Jericho defines as political prisoners and what that entails with the organization?
I'm the co-chair of the Jericho Movement, presently on my second term. The Jericho Movement started in 1998 by one of the political prisoners that's still incarcerated, Jalil Abdul-Mumit Hakeem, formerly known as Anthony Bottom, who was part of the New York Six, one of the prisoners in New York State, and also Safi Bukhari and Herman Ferguson. And it started off with a real big bang with a wonderful attended demonstration in Washington, D.C. in 1998, and several thousand people were definitely in attendance. We've up to 10,000. I myself was incarcerated still at the time. Like Brother Adams said, I was formerly a political prisoner. I served approximately 23 years on a 43-year sentence for armed expropriations on my involvement with the Black Liberation Army. I was one of the fortunate prisoners in the sense of being able to return home to to work in our community and try also to work towards the release of those political prisoners that are still incarcerated. Jericho is an organization, a frontline vanguard organization that addresses the whole issue of political incarcerations in the United States, particularly focusing on those political prisoners and POWs, prisoners of war, that were directly involved in the liberation and nationalist movements from the 60s and the 70s. For example, we're talking about the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army, the Native American Indian Movement. We're talking about the Puerto Rican nationalists and white anti-imperialists, the Weather Underground, the Republic of New Africa. Organizations such as that nature that actually sought to change and cause the demise of the capitalist system and bring about a government that was for the people and true indeed the socialist government for the most case, where people decide and determine their own destiny. There are prisoners that are still incarcerated from those decades gone by. They are indeed Al Nelson Mandela's, our freedom fighters, many of whom have been incarcerated now well over 40 years. We're talking about the 60s and 70s for the most of them, even though there are some that have been incarcerated in the 80s and leading up until even the 90s. We have still the onslaught. These prisoners were the fallout of the counterintelligence program and their combat, our combat of racism and oppression, political oppression back in those times, much of which exists today in various different forms. And some of them, as the old saying goes, the more things change, you know. You can figure out the rest. The more things change. So, Jericho's organization that represents them and campaigning for their freedom, amnesty campaign. We always have some coals in the fire. We try to working to have their own support committees and defense committees now. So, in those